I noticed the readings this morning. Did you hear the common thread that passed through all the readings today? I was excited about them. I was excited. There's a lot of people gone today, huh? Okay. So the gospel reading talked about in the beginning. And it says, in the beginning was the Word. And that Word is Logos. In the beginning was the Logos. You know what Logos means? Logos means Word, right? Word means Logos. Logos means Word. In the beginning was the Word. And who is it talking about? It's talking about Jesus. That's right. It's talking about in the beginning was the Logos of God or the Word of God. And it's calling Jesus the Word of God. That's interesting, huh? And the Logos was with God and the Logos was God. That's what we read this morning. The Logos was in the beginning with God and all things were made through that Logos, that Word, who was Jesus. And without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. In him, in the Logos, or Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And it says, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It also says the darkness did not overcome it. Did you know that? Did you know that the darkness will never overcome the light? I've used this analogy before, but if you walk into a room that's completely dark, a small room, and you walk in with a candle or a light bulb, what happens? The whole room lights up, right? But if you walk into a room with a barrel full of darkness and you take the lid off the barrel, if you walk into a lit room with a barrel full of darkness, you take the lid off the barrel, the room does not darken, does it? Because the light, the source of light, is always there. And the source of light is always with us, amen? This, the Logos, this Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him. The Logos was true, was the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. That's you and I. By the way, when this says man, it means men and women. You know that, right? It's brethren and sistren, both, okay? So it's mankind. He, this Logos of God, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. So this Son of God, who is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, came to his own people, the Jews, and they did not receive him. But as many as received him, this Son of God, this Jesus Christ, who was with God at creation, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the ability, and the power to become sons and daughters of the Most High God. Is that you? Yes. Have you received him? Because if you've received him, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, this says that you're a son and daughter of the Most High God. To me, that's a great place to be. You're a son or daughter of the Most High God. See, this book is true. Every word in this book is true. This is the Bible, and it's the Holy Scriptures. We call them that for a reason, because what it says is absolutely true. And this says you're a son or a daughter of God. Are you going to argue with that? Okay, so let's establish that you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And it says, that is to those who believe in his name. And what is the name of this Logos of God? Jesus. Those of you who believe in his name and are sons and daughters of him have been born again. It says that. It says, we've not been born again by blood, nor by the will of human nature, nor by the will and effort of people, but of God through his Son. And what is another word for Logos? Another word for Logos is Word. And this Word, this Logos, this God-man, this Jesus who became flesh and lived among us, we looked at his glory, John says, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his fullness we all have received grace for grace. It says that you have received of the fullness of God. That means you're walking around with the fullness of God in you by his Holy Spirit. Even though nobody can look upon the face of God and live, John says, we have seen him. We've beheld him through this Son, this Word, Jesus Christ, who is in the heart of God and who God has declared to us. So of what benefit is this 2,000-year-old message to us today? Those, you see, those words, these messages are the beginning of all things. They're the beginning of all things in our lives. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, he said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. You know what that means? That means the beginning and the end. Who's beginning? It wasn't his beginning. He was there eternally with the Father. Whose beginning was it? It was our beginning. Jesus is our beginning and our end. For he never began, and he will never end. He is eternal, and that eternity that he is now lives inside of you. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have that very beginning and ending living in you through the Holy Spirit. If there's one thing I want to express to all of you, it is the reality of Christ in you, in his church, and in the Eucharist. I have a vision for 2012. That his presence in our lives and in our own being is growing ever more evident and expresses itself through his mighty power. That we all live a more aware and powerful life in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You see, there's really no difference today in walking with him than there was 2,000 years ago. Why is that? Because he's given us his Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to the Father, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you. And so we receive him and we receive the Holy Spirit at baptism. And we're filled up, I believe with all my heart, because of that we can be more aware, more awake, more involved, and more saturated with his power and with his glory. I believe that this church will grow and flourish as each one of us grow and flourish. And I include myself, by the way, when I say we. I know one thing, that God's not finished with me yet. Is he finished with you? He's not finished with any of us. He's still working. I know that the one thing that will always work in my life is my relationship with God and his loving word, his living word, Jesus Christ. I believe that I can only know part of this vast truth and that I have a lot, that I only know part of this vast truth now and I have a lot to learn. We can all use some more power and logos in our lives. So in this church, I would like to see all of us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that we're in a bad place right now. We're not. We've grown in our spiritual walk. But I'd like to see us continue to grow, to know Jesus more and more. And we will continue on the mission of studying. God bless you. On the mission of studying and learning more about God through our Bible studies and teachings. We will explore the wondrous and mystical book of Revelation starting on February 29th. That's going to be an exciting Wednesday night teaching, by the way. We will understand much more of what the real presence of Christ in his body and blood means in the Eucharist. We will begin to pray more and to see healings and other miracles in this church. Yes, in this church, because God isn't finished working through his church. We'll continue to come together as a church in unity and discover the gifts and talents of each person. And watch the glory of God revealed in each one of us and in all of us. We will continue on our quest to become the type of people who, when they get out of bed in the morning, the devil says, oh, nuts, they're up. Yeah, to conquer the conquerors, having put on the armor of God and standing against the wiles and darts of the wicked one. And not just standing against them, but going out and overcoming them. The enemy doesn't like that idea. I believe with all my heart that this church will thrive and grow as we thrive and grow, each one of us, in the knowledge of our Lord. Paul said that, by the way. Did you ever read the little letter, the New Testament letter that has one chapter? It's called Philemon. One chapter. And in that chapter, Paul says this to Philemon, his friend. He said, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. See, Paul equated you prospering and being in health with your soul prospering. How does your soul prosper? You know how your soul prospers. Your soul prospers through worship, through praise, through hearing the word of God, through prayer, through listening, through receiving, through fellowship. All of these things is prosperity to the soul. And when your soul prospers, it'll fan out into your physical lives. Without prosperity of the soul and without that building up and reinforcing of the soul, there will be less prosperity and health in your life. And in the church. The early Christians were full of the Holy Spirit, and they went around sharing their newfound faith with other people. They did not allow the trials and temptations of everyday life to stop them. They had the living Logos, Word, Son of God living in them, and nothing could overcome that. Nothing could stop that. Did you see the relevance of the Old Testament reading today? Because it talks about the promises that God has made. It says this, the people of Jerusalem will say, we take great delight in the Lord. We are joyful because we belong to our God. He has dressed us with salvation as if it were our clothing. He has put robes of godliness on us. And in Isaiah 62, it says this: I will not keep silent until its people's godliness shines like the sunrise. I will not remain quiet until they are saved and shine like a blazing torch. Jerusalem, the nations will see that I have made everything right for you, and all of their kings will see your glory. You will be called by a new name. I myself will give it to you. You will be like a glorious crown in my strong hand. You will be like a royal crown or a diadem in my powerful hand. Do you think that that was written to the people of Jerusalem? Because it said that, didn't it? It said the people of Zion, the people of Jerusalem. Well, let me tell you something. Here's what Paul said to the church in Henderson, Nevada, chapter 3. Well, okay, the church in Galatians, chapter 3, but it's also written to us, isn't it? He says this: You are all children of God by believing in Christ Jesus. All of you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ as if he were your clothing, which is what Isaiah just said. There is no Jew or Greek. There is no Jew or Gentile. What does Paul mean by that? He goes on, he says, there is no slave or free person. There is no male or female. Because you belong to Christ Jesus, you are all one. That means that letter in Isaiah, that prophecy in Isaiah about the promises of God, that we would become a flaming torch in his hand, a crown, a royal diadem, that was written to us. That was written to us. You are all one, said Paul. You belong to Christ and are Abraham's seed, all of you. You will receive what God has promised. Did you see that? How he says that in the Galatians about all of the promises of God made to the people of Jerusalem? And it says he wants us to be adopted as children with all the rights and privileges that children have. He wants us to have that living word, that logos living in us with all the rights that children have. And because you are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. He is the Holy Spirit, and by his power, excuse me, we call God Abba, which means Father. It's an endearment, almost like saying Daddy. I was talking to a guy last night, and I said, you know, people look around and they say, God's up there aloof somewhere, and we've got to deal with all this stuff down here. And I said, and people don't quite know what to do about that. I said, but here's what you do. You need to pray. You need to talk to God as though he were really listening, because he is. You need to talk to God as if he really hears you, because he does. And the best way to do that is to call him Father, because he gave us permission to call him Father. He even gave us permission to say, Daddy, Abba, Father. I acknowledge you in my life and your presence in me. Because you are his children, we can call him Father. So you aren't slaves any longer. You're God's children. Because you are his children, he gives you what he's promised to his people. He gives you what he promised to his people. Paul makes it pretty clear that the promises of God are for us today. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel pretty good. That I can carry around in me that Holy Spirit of the living God. That I can know that same logos, that same word that walked the earth 2,000 years ago, is walking with us today. And what does he do with us? What does he do in our lives? Did you see the psalm? It says this: he gathers us together. It says he heals those who have broken hearts. Somebody sitting out here today has a broken heart. It says he heals those who have broken hearts. Take your broken heart to him, because he'll heal it. It says he takes care of their wounds. There's some people sitting in here today that have been wounded. He's the best doctor ever, as he binds up your wounds and he heals the brokenhearted. He said, as great as our Lord and his power is mighty, said the psalm. There is no limit to his understanding. You think that God is aloof off somewhere? No. It says he's right here by his Holy Spirit. You can go to him and call him Father. I've got a broken heart. I've got wounds. You think he doesn't understand? No, it says he does. There's no limit to his understanding. The Lord gives strength to those who aren't proud. Because when you go to him, you don't go to him in pride. You go to him in humility, don't you? He gives strength to those who aren't proud. And it says, sing to the Lord and give thanks to him. Make music to our God on the harp. The Lord takes delight in those who have respect for him. They put their hope in his faithful love. See, the readings today, they all give us such a hope for 2012. They all give us such a platform to stand on, to launch us into 2012 saying these words. When you get up in the morning, you can say, good morning, Lord, my God, my Father. Good morning, my Father. This is a new day that you've made. This is a day that you gave me, and I'm going to stand up as though I was one of your children. And I may stumble and fall today, Lord, but I know that when I do, you'll be just like a good father. You'll pick me up and you'll brush me off and you'll set me back on my path because I'm filled up with you as I walk through this life. I'm filled up with you and I've got nothing to lose every day because you're with me. And I don't have to do this on my own because you give me the power. You give me the strength. And I'm going to go out from this place today, Lord, from this house, and I'm going to go into the world, and you said that I'm a light. I'm a torch in your hand. And so even if I'm going to work or I'm going to go shopping or I need to go to the grocery store or to the dentist, God forbid, or wherever I need to go, I'm going to be a torch, Lord. I'm going to be a torch to the people around me. I'm going to be a light and a fire, and I'm going to say, if they ask me, and sometimes even if they don't, I'm going to say, the light that you see shining out of my eyes is the glory of God the Father in me. And I'm carrying him around in me, and I'm not bragging about that. In all humility, I bow down to him who gives me strength. Amen?
Amen.
Let us go forth then in 2012 saying those words every day. Lord, give me the strength. Be my light and be my life. You are my salvation. You fill me up, Father. You fill me up with you. Let me now go and fill others. In Jesus' name, amen.